Turn your Bibles to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's just been stirring in my heart that God has a plan for us. Right? Has a plan for us. And there's something that I hope I can announce to you at next week, but we'll see. I'm trying to get a hold of some folks. But anyway, I want to talk to you today about what God has for us and what we all need to be involved in. Amen? Yeah. Come on. Right? You know, one of the most insulting things for me, I understand it. I do understand it. And it's usually when people are mad at me, right? They'll come to me and they'll say something like this. They'll say, you know, your church, And if it's my church, if it's just my church, then I've done a terrible job. First of all, it's not my church, it's his church. But we are his church. You know, I have a position in it, but it's just one position. Right? Glory to God. This is so cool. God not only wants us all, that's so cool, and needs us all, he's empowered us all. Well, we're going to see that today. But first of all, I want to get ahead of myself. Verse 1, it says, And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, this is Matthew 22:1, verse 2, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged for a marriage for his son. Now, before we go on, we're going to talk about this marriage, but remember, it's the kingdom. It's something that he's explaining the kingdom to. So we're looking at this parable from a kingdom standpoint. You got that? All right. Now watch this. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Those who were invited to the wedding, those who were invited to the kingdom, for our perspective, those who were invited to the kingdom. Glory to God. And they were not willing to come. And verse 4 said again, he sent other servants saying, Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calf are killed and all certain things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways to his own farm and to another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about this, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. We're talking about the kingdom now. And therefore he went into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And those servants went into the highways, and they gathered together all of them who they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in, and to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for as many as called, but few are chosen. We're talking about the kingdom now. Now, I want to relate that to us, because we are, as Zach said so well, and I just love the way God orchestrated and the greens are demonstrated, we are the kingdom of God. We are servants in the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're the ones who are supposed to invite. Invite to what? To the kingdom. To church? Yeah, but that's just part of the kingdom. The preparation's already been done. The meal's already, right? I mean, Jesus has already went to the cross. He's done everything that's necessary for everyone to be saved. But we're not inviting. God wants us to invite. Right, where? To church? Yeah, maybe. Cool. Yeah, they need to be in church. And we'll see that in just a minute. And we all need to be in church. But the reality is, we have to not only give out an invitation, but we have to give it out in a certain way. Right? It's kind of like, have you ever been invited to something, but it was kind of like, here's an invitation, come if you want. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, well, we're kind of obligated to invite you, but it would be okay if you didn't come. You know, have you ever felt that? I mean, I've felt that before, right? But watch this. When somebody says, listen, I really want you there. You're important to me. I really want you there. We're talking about inviting people to the kingdom of God. Right? And God wants us to absolutely make that happen. Now watch this though. He went out to those that were supposed to be invited. You know, friends, family, relatives, maybe some people in the town that just, and he said, yeah, come on. They said, you know, we're just too busy. Most of us would quit there, and we have quit there. We've talked to people, and maybe they didn't receive us. Maybe they didn't come. Maybe they didn't want to come. And so we stopped. God is saying, let me deal with them. You go invite somebody else. You go invite somebody else. So don't stop inviting. Right? Now, I'm going to relate this a little bit to the church, to this church, our church. I want to create a place where people are invited to, but watch this, also a place where you want to invite people. Amen. Right? I mean, what kind of place are we wanting people to come to? Well, of course, worship. We want them to worship with us. We want them to hear the Word of God. But I think the most important thing, and I'm going to talk about Meryl in just a minute. She came to prayer meeting this week, and she was in Oregon last week. And she went to this, was it your sister and her husband? I mean, they went to church about 6 times over 3 days. I mean, just, you know, church, great, awesome. But you got to build up stamina for that much church. It's just amazing. But anyway, what she said to me is, you know what? There was such an atmosphere of feeling welcomed. Like people wanted you to be there. And I know that if anybody comes in here, all of us want them to be here. And we want them to stay here, right? We want why? So that we can have numbers, so I can say, man, my church. No, I could care less about any of that. But what I want, like Janine pointed out, I want to win the world one heart at a time by sharing the love of God with them so that they feel welcome. Right? That they feel welcome. Let's look at a couple of different verses, and I just want to point this out. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Again, there's a difference between, hey, glad you're here, and hey, I'm really glad you're here. Right? When you walk through the door, it just excites me. And I'll tell you, and this is just personal, I probably shouldn't even say it, but there are certain people, it's like when I don't see them for a long time, it's like, it just hurts my heart a little bit, you know? Not that, and please hear me, I am not pressuring anybody to be here. That's not my heart. That's not my heart. But there's something about being together that I love. You know, and I love it, right? But watch this. Go to verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone a measure of faith. Somebody who says, I have no faith, is just not telling the truth. I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he said this. He said, anyone who says they don't hear the voice of God is not born again. What? Well, in order to be born again, the Spirit had to draw you. And if the Spirit didn't draw you, then you're not born again. But if you're born again, then you hear the voice of God. Anyway, well, I'm not going to get into that, but I could. Verse 4, for as many, we have many members, but one body. But all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one in Christ, individually members of one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace that's given to each of us, let us use them. Right? You have a gift. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You have a gift, but that gift is graced with God. And what do I mean by that? That's an empowering that comes because He's given it to you. Right? So you have a gift. What is my gift? What is my gift? We had conferences on, take this survey and I'll show you your gift. Forget all of that. Forget all of that and just be you. Just be you and do what God puts in your heart to do, and your gift will make room for itself. But you've got to understand that you have a purpose. And while I'm so appreciative of the streaming, and many of you couldn't be here at certain times, but you're able to stream the services, and it was awesome for that to happen. And there are many, you know, watching this morning that for whatever reason they're not comfortable with the COVID, and I understand all that. That what a blessing the streaming has been, right? That's awesome. But it's not the same as you being here. Why? Well, because your grace can't be used for the body if it's sitting on your couch. I mean, you can pray, and that's good, and I love that and continue to do that. But God wants to use you. When the body comes together, we're all supposed to come with an expectation, you know, that to be used. Like this morning, several were used of God to round out what's going on here, right? But the reality is it's like, God, use us to bless somebody else. And again, Marilyn, and she brought conviction to me, honestly, conviction to my heart, saying, God, we need to do better. We need to do better with this whole thing. And we need to be better about when people come in, no matter how they smell, no matter how they look, no matter what their lifestyle is. Are you listening to me? That we have to be ready, on guard, all of us. No. Glory to God. Okay, verse 6 again. Then having gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us each use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, some of the things, the gifting of God we grow in, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Now, first of all, just I need to stop here because sometimes in the church world, in Christianity, we say, I'm in the ministry, you know. Right? I'm in the ministry. And I am in the ministry. And I feel, and we should honor those that God honors. There's no doubt about that. I think sometimes we look at people and don't use their, especially in this country today, the right titles for them, and they lose the honor for the titles. But what ministry means is servant. I'm in the servant. I'm a servant. God has called me to be a servant. I'll just tell you, Janine, she talks about being in ministry in Tijuana. You know what the bulk of their ministry was? They were feeding people. They were taking care of people. Scott and Janine would dress wounds for people right in their home. They would... Over and over again, if you went to their house and there are people coming over at all hours of the day, and they'd be feeding them with what? Not with the grace of God, because they didn't have a lot of money to do it, but God multiplied the pot. They were serving. They were ministering. So ministry is not about getting your name known somehow. Right? If that's you, don't come. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But if you have a heart to be used by God, let's do it. I said, let's do it. Our ministry, let us use our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. Now here's the thing too, and I could go for 2 hours, but I'm not going to. Listen, let each one of us minister according to the grace that's been given us to do what we've been given. So what's an exhorter? An exhorter is someone who encourages, someone who cheers somebody on. It's like, but if you're going to do that with the anointing. Right? If you're going to teach, I've got the teaching gift. Well, you know, we need some help in the Sunday school department. Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Listen, those kids need the seed of the Word of God put into them under the anointing. There's some children back there right now that are being fed the Word of God, not at the same level or the same place that we are, but they're being fed the Word of God. And we're believing God that the anointing, because of the grace of God, is producing seed in them. Yeah, and I just want to tell you that there's some seed that we've sown for years and years and years and years and years and years into people that are out there that it's starting to sprout. They don't know it yet. They can't quite figure it out, but that word is sprouting and it's going to come back and get the harvest. Anyway, I just want to get off of that for a minute. But and he who exhorts, verse 8, in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Listen. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another. Glory to God. Glory to God. This word of, you know, be kind to one another. What's it saying? Be hospitable. We need to create a hospitality again. In the church where people come and they go, man, I like being there. Being there makes me feel good about myself, that I have some value, that I have some worth. Amen. Well, how do we do that? I'm not exactly sure, but that's where our focus is going to be over the next few months as we're going to pray. Donnie's been announcing that we're going to have a discipleship class, and that's because that's the only name that we need to throw at it. But what I've decided, and it'll happen after Easter, but we're going to have a few weeks of getting together and brainstorming how we can become more hospitable. Why? Because we want to invite some people that when we know that they come, they're going to feel welcome. They're going to go, wow. Not only that, we want the atmosphere, but what I've created my whole life for and my whole ministry is like, Lord, we want your glory to come down. And there's an aspect of that, but there's also an aspect of hospitality. Come. Come be with us. Come. Right? And we'll brainstorm that and figure that out together. And so rather than a discipleship class, I think it's more like come brainstorm with me and become my deacons, if you will. You know, so that I don't have to figure it all out, because that'll never happen. I need you to help me with that. But that's what we're supposed to do, right? And somebody says, well, what are we going to do? I haven't a clue. But we're going to do something. And we're going to do that until that starts working or it doesn't work, and then we'll shift and do something else because we want to become more hospitable.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you. And I fully agree with that. And the reality is because if we can train ourselves to create a hospitality, how many know that hospitality is not natural for a lot of people? Now, I just got to tell you this, and I'll go on. But my dad, well, just look at it from the world standpoint. Growing up, do you remember the house that all of the kids congregated at? Right, growing up, you had somebody's house, and it was for one of two reasons: either the parents were neglect, you know, we're just gone, and so you could get away with anything you could get away with. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that house where the parents said, "Come on in, come on in. We want you here." My house, my dad. We had lake property on Mason Lake, and a lot of my friends spent their whole teenage years at the lake in the summer with all of us. And it's like my mom and dad had 12 kids. You understand? And on the weekend, we had five or six or seven or eight or whatever. And Mom was a miracle worker because she just put more spaghetti in. Buy another pack of hot dogs. But everybody there felt like they were welcome there. And my dad was that way. My dad never met a stranger. I don't have all his giftings, but the reality is I want people to come into that type of atmosphere. Whether they come for an hour, they come for a week, they come for a month, they come for 3 months, whatever, you know, that's between them and God. But while they're here, I want them to feel loved. And sadly enough, I don't think that we've done as good a job with that as we're going to do. Right? Not that we haven't done it. We have done it, but we're going to do a better job at it. Right? And so I'm talking this morning about an invitation, but I want to create an atmosphere that an invitation is not only eagerly given, it's received in a spirit of acceptance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, but Pastor, if you do that, there'll be all kinds of people come in. Yeah, 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 yeah. And some of them might be some of those people that we preach against. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. Let me tell you this story, and this is so good. This was years ago, and by me telling it, it'll tell you that it was years ago. It was like in the late 70s. It was the late 70s, and this friend of mine, his name was Harley Goodwin. He preached in prisons. He was a prison, and he, you know, spoke at different churches around the country. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. God was using him like crazy. And he was at this Presbyterian church in Black Diamond. And there's a young pastor there and his wife, and they preached, and some people got saved, and they were going to have a baptism that night for people to get baptized, because they got saved, going to get them baptized right away. That's great. And this couple said, you know, we want to be baptized. And that's great. But the pastor came up to Harley afterwards and said, you know, he said, Pastor, or Harley, you got to understand, they're not married, they're living together. Oh, such a dilemma. Harley said it this way. He said, it's no problem. Jesus said, you catch them, I'll clean them. I won't compromise the Word of God. We won't compromise the Word of God. We'll keep preaching the Word of God. But we'll let God do the work of the Word of God. Does that make sense? So we want to create an atmosphere that God is welcome. And He's welcome here. I said He's welcome here. The Holy Spirit is welcome here. Glory to God. Okay, another scripture and we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Do you know that people really know if you love them or not?
Amen.
You know, they really do. And the Clancing, love you, brother, really means nothing if there's not action behind that. Right? Love you, brother. Let me just say this. I think it was Francis Chan, and something that affected him so much. We may not even get the scripture, because I think this is better. That's the way I'm going to go. Francis Chan was telling a story, and he was telling a story about a gang member that started coming to the church. He had a mega church, huge, huge church. And he started coming to the church, and he ended up leaving the church, or not coming as much, and he ran into Francis Chan, and he just asked him. He said, where have you been? He said, when I came into the church and come into the services, they're good and everything, but I never really felt like I belonged. One of the things that drew me to the gang was, even though it was nasty, even though we did horrible things, when you were in the gang, you belonged to the gang, right? There were some initiations, some things you had to go through, and some terrible things. But once you put the patch on, then you were part of something that other people better respect, because if they messed with you, they messed with the gang. And so he said, but when I came to the church, yeah, people said hello and people said all the night, but I was never really accepted or felt accepted in. Isn't that a sad indictment? How do we fix that? I don't know. But we're going to. Together. Right? Why? Because I believe, now this is what I believe. I believe that we're on the precipice of a revival. I believe there are people out there that are going, we voted for this, we voted this in. This isn't all making sense to us. I mean, it sounds good, but it's not working out. And we've got to get away from this and that and Republican, Democrat. We've got to get rid of all of that stuff. Right? And preach the kingdom. And invite people into the kingdom. I don't want the state in my church. Right? I don't want... But we need to create a place where there's a movement where we're laying our lives down for one another. And somebody says, you know what? They got my back. I might have screwed up, but they've got my back. I might have messed up. I might have done something wrong, but I can always come home here. I know I'm going way over. I'm going way over, but I just, well, we say it's good, but those back there that have the kids, that's a different story. You know, they've gone through the snacks and they've gone through the prizes and they've gone anyway. So, but I will close, because we have had that in the past. there's a particular person that I want to tell you about. I'm not going to tell you their name. But they came to the church for a while, and they left the church in circumstances that weren't great. But whenever they got in trouble, I'd see them come back through the doors. And I mean, they talk smack about me. I mean, they come back through the doors and they knew they could come back here and be loved. I'm thinking of two different people. One person, when he came back, he said, "I knew you wouldn't reject me." Right? That's the atmosphere we want. We want the presence of God. And His presence is here. If He stops showing up, I'm stopping. But He hasn't stopped showing up. Every time we get together, His presence is here. Glory to God. And it's because of us. Not because of me. Because of us, we come to worship the Lord. Amen? Well, let's close in prayer and I'm going to believe God for you. But believe. Listen, we need to be believing God for this. Yeah. Right? Well, when you think about this, you think about what I've said today, believe God. And again, next week, and this is way early, we didn't plan it out, and it's going to be rushed, and it won't be perfect, but we're going to have invitations for Easter for you to hand out and invite people. Right? Just invite somebody. We'll take as many as you want. Hand them out to whoever you want. Right? Just hand them out. And if they come, they come. If they don't, praise God. Right? But we want them to come in, feel valued, feel loved, and the love of God that's coming through us because God has gifted us with His grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You. We honor You. We bless You. We glorify You. I thank You, God, so much for us. For us that are in this room and those that are watching by TV or, you know, on the internet, whatever. God, I just thank You for them. And I ask You to bless them. And I thank You for their giftings, God. And I want them to feel love. I want them to know that they're worthwhile. I want them to know that they're worthy. I want them to know, God, that You love them and that You're sending an invitation into their hearts for them to come to You just like they are. Father, I just ask for a supernatural anointing. Love on the people, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you don't know Jesus, just talk to Him. Just ask Him. Say, "God, I don't even know how to pray, but I'm just going to talk to You if You're there or not. Lord, I just want You to speak to me. I just want You to show me. I need You, God. Show me Yourself, God." And He will, but He'll show You Himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us online. Just, Father, heal their hurts. Heal their bodies. Touch them, Lord. Supply their needs just like You do. Do what You do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.